Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. First, I want to thank the supporters of leadership. Leaders Portfolio sponsors Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development featured, front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Our first guest on Leaders Portfolio today is the president and CEO at Drake Incorporated, Ms. Stephanie Y. Drake. Now, Drake Incorporated has over $5 million in revenues, and it's a construction and real estate services firm in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Stephanie, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you.
Now, your firm has done lighting for the National Air and Space Museum. You've done playground construction, and you primarily service nearly 100% of your clients are the federal sector. So talk to me about some of the other projects you've worked on.
Sure. The kinds of projects that we've worked on are a diversity of projects. Pretty much we do whatever our clients are desiring from us. So we work with a diversity of federal agencies such as the Smithsonian, the NIH, GSA. We've done work with the Corps of Engineers, Department of Labor, Social Security Administration here in Baltimore. And pretty much what we do is pretty much a lot of interior build-out projects, a lot of museum projects. And so pretty much what we do is
You go into a client
right.
that has a need, and it's anything from the National Air and Space Museum, and they might need interiors done. And so you'll sit with them and assess what needs to be implemented.
Correct. And so we pretty much offer them, you know, at the Navy Yard, for example, we have done a lot of like a four-story office building there where we've done design build. We'll go in and we'll do the design. We'll bring in our own architect. And we'll scope out the project for them, and then we'll come in and perform this construction work on that project. And then if you move over to the Smithsonian, we will be asked to perform projects like a mechanical project, just like we did the electrical project in the National Museum of American History. So we do, like I said, a diversity of projects and pretty much, you know, we'll sweep floors, if you will.
How often do you bring in the architect versus the architectural firm bring you in? Your model's more to bring them in?
Yes. Our model is more to bring them in, but we're big on teaming. So we like the reciprocal relationship where the architect will bring us and invite us to be a part of their team on projects. So what we try to do, even though we are known to pretty much bring in our architect firms, we ask them to also avail us to their clients to be able to pretty much suggest that we be the construction contractor to perform on the construction projects. So yes, we primarily do a lot of the design build, so we're actually the one on the contract that, you know, are tasked with mm-hmm. doing the design and the construction, so we hold the whole contract.
And your firm just won one of 4 5-year contracts by the Social Security Administration that was valued at $60 million for all the contracts?
Correct.
Right?
Yes, and it's not an open checkbook. So what it is pretty much like a master contract. And pretty much it was a competitive bid where we competitively bid against, you know, other contractors out there, and they selected 4. So 4 of the contractors will pretty much compete under this master contract on task order type projects. So they have 5 buildings over in Baltimore and within, you know, in that facility. And so pretty much as they identify construction projects, we all bid on that, and pretty much the low bid wins.
And how has the budget affected you?
It has affected us. For a number of agencies, they have projects that they have earmarked that they have urgent sense of urgency to get those projects completed. But again, the funding may or may not be available. And we are seeing that a lot, you know, in some of our agencies like the, you know, Smithsonian or even Social Security Administration. So right now what I'm hearing is that the budgets have been released. It's just a matter of it trickling down and them defining which projects will be funded.
So how is that bring complications for your business? Because you have to staff up quickly and staff down quickly.
Well, we are pretty much, you know, that was an interesting story that you'd asked that, is that last year was a very challenging year for us because of the fact we want to have the best people. And so we pretty much weathered the storm last year because, again, same thing happened where, you know, the budgets hadn't been released for those specific projects. So what we do is that we are just continuing to, you know, continue to knock on our clients' doors to try to get repeat business. And so, you know, we continue to hold on to our 14-member staff because, again, it's very hard to replace good quality people. So fortunately, but unfortunately, we've continued to hold on to our good people and, you know, it's affected us, but, you know, our bonding agents and bonding, you know, surety companies have, you know, worked with us, you know, and this year will be our banner year, I think, because a lot of the projects that were not funded this year, last year, were funded this year. So we're kind of moving forward.
So does that make it, is it tough? Like, do you become a $3 million company one year and it's $8 million the next year and $6 million the next year? I mean, is that, does that kind of the effect of it, of the unsurety of the budget or? No, not necessarily.
Our goal is to continue to go upwards. last year was a unique situation because we had a number of master type contracts like the Social Security Administration contract where, you know, we kind of the revenues did decline. But this year, you know, the way we're trying to deal with that is by identifying new clients because, of course, we pride ourselves on having a core, you know, group of clients that we service. So right now what we're doing is really pushing to extend our client, you know, extend our client base and identifying new work. So that's how we're, you know, working through that is to pretty much take our past experience of having worked with other agencies and bringing that to the forefront. And so when we bring that to the forefront, we're being invited to go into new agencies or to other private client groups. Such as developers that may have an interior build-out project that they hear about Drake and they know that we do good work. So we're being invited to new relationships.
Now, you initially had a business partner with construction and expertise for an earlier iteration of this, what then became Drake Incorporated. Right. Talk about that.
Yes. When I left corporate America in 2001, my goal was to really, you know, evolve into a community developer. And from my past life in commercial real estate, you know, one of the largest, the biggest, you know, risk is construction. So I woke up one day and decided that I wanted to go into the construction arena to learn construction before I ultimately went out to start doing development projects. So that day when I woke up, I contacted my colleague who I trusted and said, look, I'm looking to start a construction company. And he offered to teach me what I knew. And so he came in, and I pretty much went out and got my license. And I started out doing a lot of row homes and colleagues and friends' homes throughout the D.C. metropolitan area because of my network within the real estate community. So that's how I started out. And a year later, he fell off, and I started Drake Incorporated. I reincorporated the company and started out doing federal government the year after.
Now, I think I read somewhere or I saw a photo of you doing some construction yourself. So you've been known in the past to actually get involved and do some dirty work yourself, right?
Yeah, at the onset of the company, I pretty much did a lot. I have scars to prove it, yes.
Yes. So now when something's hammered wrong, you go, well, I know how that's done, right?
Well, I'll just say that at the beginning, naturally doing a lot of residential work, once I got into the commercial side, naturally I hired really qualified guys. And, you know, I'm a member of the Carpenters Union. So, of course, we have, you know, carpenters that come in and perform the work. And I have very qualified staff that has 25 to 30 years of experience. So I don't have to do that anymore. But I'm still the woman with the big stick, you know, making sure that we're staying on top of responding to our clients' needs, making sure that there's, you know, keep the issues down and try to be responsive to our clients. So I'm pretty much the gatekeeper, if you will, of you know, making sure that, you know, our company continues to, you know, retain a good reputation in the marketplace.
Now, you said you founded the company on faith, and I noticed this was a common theme for you in that you prayed after you retired from your former firm, you took a sabbatical, and then founded this company on faith. So talk to me about how you've incorporated your faith into this firm.
As I initially stated, when I left corporate America, I knew that when I left, because I was making really, you know, good money at the time. I was a VP in commercial real estate. And so naturally, you know, I could grow within that career. But my goal, I felt like I wasn't really helping anyone. And in my heart, and since I was a little girl, I always felt that I was supposed to have an impact on the world. So that was really my first jump of, you know, dealing with my fears and just saying, you know, that wasn't really how I was made, I didn't think. But that was my first leap of faith, was to leave corporate America, leave a very comfortable position, and to go out and do something of significance. And again, my goal was to take and become a community developer, go out and do mixed-use developments, et cetera, et cetera. So that was the big thing for me, was to, you know, break away from that and really, you know, let Drake be a vehicle for being that impact in the world and creating jobs, et cetera. So.
And your bachelor's is from Georgia State University in Business Administration. Mm-hmm. And so you had done that back in the day originally. Talk to us about your leadership philosophy.
I would say I lead by example. That's one thing that I am a grassroots, and that's what I think most would say about me, is that, you know, I don't just talk it, I walk it. And I think it's very important to be a good example for your people. You know, you set out there with the you know, what the expectations are, and you give, you know, for, and push them to be creative and to be out of the box thinkers, and to really, you know, be, you know, do what they say they're going to do. Treat everything like a project, you know, own it, you know, I and team. If you need other resources to get what you need to get, you own that project. So my leadership style is for me to, you know, make sure that my people, you know, that's the branding of Drake. It's important that that's what I teach my clients. That's what I show my clients. I want my people to demonstrate the same philosophy. So that's what I try to teach.
Excellent. And along these lines of faith and leadership, we've got a Forbes business quote. Frederick Kropp said, "There is much in the world to make us afraid. There is much more in our faith to make us unafraid." Thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, you know, the fears, I think that that's something that I was, you know, like anyone else. I have my fears, though they exist, there's a conviction inside of me that has forced me to break through those fears. And I do think that, you know, a lot of things in my life has been faith-based. It has to have been, because if I go based on the makeup of what I thought I was, and I went based upon that, but again, just because of the inner piece of me that just really forces me to go outside the box, I think that that's what we as people really need to look beyond what we think our limitations are.
Excellent. Well, Stephanie, I want to thank you for joining us here on Leaders Portfolio. So thank you.
Thank you.
Stephanie Y. Drake, President and CEO at Drake Incorporated. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, reminding you to nominate a business leader or leadership business for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. And maybe you have a client, or maybe you have a boss, or maybe you are the boss. Apply for those awards now. We'll return after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux-Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L Architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.